The historical advantage that Christianity have is unlike that of any other world religious system.
Dr. Paul Meyer speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Are we dealing with history here? I do believe. This is not some special mythology invented, but part and parcel of the ancient world. No question about that. There is no religion on earth like Christianity, which is easier to defend on a historical basis. There it is.
You can listen to Dr. Meyer's entire presentation, Making the Case for the Historicity of Christianity, and teachings by Will Wheaton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, Molly Hemingway, and David Menton on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the audio DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Gentlemen. You all know why we're here.
What do you got?
Swabia, Germany, the golden hat relic, over 3,000 years old. Some say this artifact displays complex astronomical predictions. Where did they get this knowledge?
Cuzco, Peru, the trepanated skulls. Take a look at these incisions. How did this primitive culture perform such an advanced medical procedure? Over 1,000 years ago.
Gotland, Sweden, the Sleipnir stone. Odin, the Norse god of death, said to have traveled between earth and sky on this eight-legged horse. But were the ancients really depicting something else that flew overhead?
Sanchi, India, ancient stupas. The great ruler Ashoka ordered stupas like this to be constructed in order to reach a quote-unquote higher realm. Now, what did they mean by this? Could this be a case of misunderstood technology?
It's clear what needs to be done.
Just a few excerpts from a TV series on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. I remember when it was Chariot of the Gods, when we were told that various depictions and carvings, ancient art and things like that, were spacemen who had visited Earth. Now, this is better production value than that. Better narration than that, but the claim seems to be the same, that the Earth was visited in ancient times, man in a more primitive state witnessed alien activity, extraterrestrial activity, their ships, their inhabitants, and took them for gods, took them for beings of great power, worshiped them sometimes, but depicted them always. Is this true? Joining us to talk about this TV series on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens, Ken Samples. He's a regular guest, senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
There is a certain irony in the History Channel, which people usually tune in to for something close to history, maybe pop history, but something close to history here. Isn't there? Is there real history in ancient aliens?
You know, what's interesting is I am a passionate watcher of the History Channel. I have History Channel 1, History Channel 2. I watch it all the time. I used to call it the Hitler Channel because they had so many programs about World War II and the Nazis. Now it's the Alien Channel, undoubtedly. And I like your connection. When I was a bit younger, Chariots of the Gods, that was huge. And in many ways, this is just kind of an advanced kind of presentation of that idea. And it's anything but history, but I'm sure it must sell well. That's the reason why it's the History Channel is chocked full of aliens and ET and UFOs.
What are we going? What kind of basic claim is at the heart of this show, Ancient Aliens?
That's a good question. I thought about it philosophically, Todd, and I really think that it's a religious claim. I really think that UFOs and ancient aliens, even the more scientific discussion of extraterrestrial life, to some degree, is an attempt to find salvation from above. That this is an attempt to kind of find answers to the big questions of life. And so, as you said, these ancient aliens appeared at a critical stage in ancient man's development and provided them with medical and all technological advances, and this is how human beings have kind of reached the place that they are. And then, of course, the next step is that these aliens are still watching us, and most of the ancient alien guys, they believe they're going to make some kind of profound contact if they haven't already.
So some of this stuff is puzzling. I mean, the claims here, it could easily be interpreted this way, but are we dealing here with what a historian, a more serious historian, might call mere speculation surrounding mysteries or unexplained things in the ancient world?
Oh, yeah. This is speculation squared or cubed. This is an attempt, I think, in many ways, to kind of project a UFO worldview, if you will, and it is very cherry-picking and selecting certain technological advanced ideas and things of that nature, and it really doesn't provide kind of a careful historical alternative. It's pumping into the idea of a UFO worldview, and there's just lots of problems with understanding and explaining that whole phenomenon.
You talked about the alien or the extraterrestrial worldview. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I think that when we think about a worldview, we're thinking about a big picture view of reality. We're asking questions about our origin and our destiny. How did we get here, and where are we going, and what is humanity's greatest need? Well, in many ways, you can think about UFOs and extraterrestrials and ancient aliens in that kind of context. These alien beings were somehow responsible for us either coming here or making advances, and they're going to take part in the eschaton, in the future kind of element. And, of course, many of these people think that these aliens are beneficent. You know, they're kind of watching over human beings. And so if you reject kind of traditional religion and you reject kind of atheistic naturalism, well, then there's this kind of alien worldview that you can kind of adopt. And so I kind of look at it in that category, that it's a rejection of both traditional religion and of secularism.
All right. If one adopted this as not all the claims, but even just a few of the claims, even one of them, that in ancient times, extraterrestrials visited the Earth and were mistaken for gods, what do you do? How does that square? Can it be squared with the Christian worldview?
Yeah, great question. I think we have to think kind of broadly about this issue. God created all things. Christians have debated for a long time about whether God could have created other worlds. Thomas Aquinas, the great Catholic philosopher, in the 13th century raised the question, how big is the universe? Is there another world? Could there be life on it? And Thomas even asked the question, if there is intelligent life in another world, what would Christ's redemptive actions on earth, how would it relate to that question? And so these questions have not taken Christians unaware about is there possible life in the universe or in some other universe? I think that that's a very different question, however, than postulating ancient aliens or UFOs in the sky. It seems to me that the phenomenon of UFOs is, in terms of factual knowledge, incredibly weak. And the idea of human beings somehow being redeemed by these aliens, I think, is really deeply counter to Christianity. So to me, it is an alternative worldview with extremely poor explanatory power, but it is religious, I think, in one sense. And again, if if you don't care for Christianity or the other religions and naturalism is not your cup of tea, then you might be able to you have some kind of scientific advanced religious phenomenon with the ancient aliens.
Is there, with about a minute here before we take our break, is there a kind of historical chauvinism also unstated in a show like Ancient Aliens? And it goes a little like this, I wonder. These ancient peoples were so primitive, they certainly couldn't have known how to do X, Y, or Z. One of the examples that was cited there was some kind of surgery. We know all those things now. They certainly did not. The only way to explain the fact that they seem to have been doing these things was alien influence. That seems a pretty big jump, but also an exercise in historical chauvinism. What do you think?
I think so. And again, I think it is kind of reading in. I think it certainly is not giving the awareness that human beings are made in the image of God and therefore have certain abilities to live on this planet and make advancement of this type of planet. So yeah, these aliens are kind of rescuing us. These aliens are helping out human beings who are just kind of helpless if left to their own. Yeah, I think that's something like that's happening in these programs.
When we come back, we'll deal a little bit with one of the claims here. It's probably the biggest ancient alien claim, and that is ancient aliens are actually responsible for us being here on this planet. Stay tuned.
What we need as a goal is to raise a generation of Christians who actually believe that truth is not a matter of opinion, that a college education, while good, is not more important than children, that a successful career, while fulfilling, is not more fulfilling than a faithful and steady marriage.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Where what we believe about who Jesus was and how he saved us influences how we treat each other all the time. Where we teach his words because he's God. Whether or not we like those words, and if we don't like them, our first action is not to try to make them go away, but to find out how and why they're right. Where the good news is yelled every single day by all of us at our dinner table to our kids, listen, God is calling.
You can listen to Pastor Fisk's presentation, Making the Case for the Church's Response to Postmodernism, on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ken Samples is our guest, Senior Research Scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. We're talking about the TV series on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. Ken, I want to deal with the big claim. I don't know if the Ancient Aliens series actually makes or hints at this claim, but it's one that's very popular nowadays, not only among the advocates of extraterrestrials, but even among some kind of more ardent atheists, including Richard Dawkins, that the ancient aliens of some form, unknowable, ancient, highly technologically advanced, civilization long dead, something like that, seeded this planet with life, and that's how we explain its origins. What are your thoughts there?
Very, very interesting, I think, in several different ways. First of all, it is so difficult to explain life on planet Earth purely naturalistically that you have the atheist of atheists, Richard Dawkins, proposing some kind of alien creationism, if you will. Now, that is an irony. But, you know, this idea, this idea of panspermia, the idea that maybe life began in outer space somehow, and it was transported to Earth. I mean, this idea is, you see it from various places. Even Stephen Hawking has proposed that maybe at some point we'll have to move to another planet. So this idea of maybe life began in outer space. Well, there's a lot of things kind of mixed together here. You have some people who are kind of talking about extraterrestrials, but let's look at the ancient alien explanation just briefly. I mean, so this is an ancient civilization, and they travel, they're sending crafts in interplanetary space travel over distances that are incredibly long and difficult to traverse, and they're giving us all this technology, and of course there are millions of so-called sightings of UFOs. So they're coming to Earth, and why would they make this investment? Why would they do this kind of thing? It seems to me that it's very difficult to understand how you would have a UFO explanation of all of this. The scientific ideas, again, and Todd, I think that this is a powerful point. I think we're realizing, and I think the scientific community is conceding, that a natural explanation of life on planet Earth is really an issue that they cannot come up with. And so some have speculated it must have come from outer space somehow.
What do those who speculate about the existence of ancient aliens and their influence and activity among ancient civilizations, what do they sometimes do with stories from the Old Testament, from the Bible?
Well, that is a very common part of some of these programs. So they'll pick up some of the miracles of the Bible, maybe in the ministry of Moses or the ministry of somebody else in the Old Testament, and they will say that the aliens were able to help Moses out there in the Exodus, or maybe the things that happened to Egypt, that these were really aliens working in conjunction. And so you have to kind of read the Bible in light of kind of this UFO interpretation. And that's a very common thing, and that definitely goes back to the Chariots of the Gods. That was seen a long time ago, and you still see it in some of the History Channel programs.
What is it ever alleged that Jesus was an alien?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, there are claims made that Jesus was an alien. In fact, you have a number of UFO cults that claim that they have some kind of connection to various alien beings, and Jesus happens to be the Raelians and a number of other groups that were popular in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They make claims about Jesus being an alien.
Christians do believe in extraterrestrial life. We just happen to call them angels and demons. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that the universe, the God who created all things, is a being that we can't get our mind around. And God created another realm of reality than the material physical realm. So God created angels. And I think what's interesting here is that sometimes the characteristics that are given to UFOs have, in the minds of some connection to angelology or even demonology. And so we obviously believe that there is more to the universe than what we can observe here in the physical universe. But with the alien worldview, they kind of plug in a lot of that ideas. And I would say some of the strange phenomenon of UFOs remind me of kind of the strange phenomenon of demonology. I'm not drawing a hard and fast connection there. I'm simply saying this is a very bizarre phenomenon.
So is it possible, and again, no hard and fast connection, but is it possible that what some, especially in modern times, have either believed or reported to be connection with extraterrestrials was something of a more spiritual nature, that is, an angelic nature?
I think you can make a case. I mean, there are kind of three views about how to think about UFOs. The first one is the misidentified hypothesis. Carl Sagan says, you know, they're all just misidentified natural phenomena. The second view is that there are, we call it the extraterrestrial hypothesis. There really are metallic physical spacecrafts visiting Earth from other places in the universe. Real difficulty in verifying or confirming that kind of thing. And then the last one is called the interdimensional hypothesis. And it says the vast majority of UFO reports are naturally explained, but maybe 5%, what we call residual UFOs, don't seem to be easily explained in naturalistic terms, and they seem to have kind of a religious, if not demonic, kind of connection. Jacques Vallée, one of the leading writers in this field, has made that connection between occultism and unexplained UFO phenomena. Again, do any of those three views explain all of the data? No. All three of them have strengths and weaknesses. And I think a good dose of skepticism is very wise when we approach this topic.
Finally, with only about a minute, someone says, look, I've been watching the series on History Channel, Ancient Aliens. It's got me really worried. It's got me questioning whether or not this Christian worldview has a solid basis. Seems like a rational explanation for a lot of these things. What else could explain it? What do you say with about a minute here, Ken?
I would say, look, Christianity has some powerful support for its truth. The idea that the universe had a beginning, that this universe we live in is fine-tuned to allow for human life. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, a real historical member of the human race that Romans and the Jews spoke of, independent of Scripture, and that biblical worldview that gives us hope, that gives us, tells us about our origin and our destiny, that tells us that God loves us, that He's forgiven us in Christ. We can put our confident trust in Him. That's a worldview that has real substance to it, that I think is supported scientifically, supported historically. The Alien Channel may be a lot of fun for entertainment, but there's very little history connected to that program.
Ken Samples, a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on New Testament questions and answers, talking with Dr. Michael Eschelbach about sacraments, worship, and spiritual gifts. We'll discuss late 6th century, early 7th century mayor and bishop of Rome, Gregory the Great. Dr. Carl Beckwith will be our guest. That is going to be a fascinating conversation because very few people in Christian history get to be called the Great, and we'll find out why Gregory is one of them tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc.,
P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.